If not, I'm going to invite Jimmy and Joy to come up and do our Advent readings and candle lighting this morning for us. Thank you, guys.
Can you hear me now?
Reminds us that God comes to us in ordinary places among ordinary people. The prophecy candle reminds us of how God spoke to his people through the prophets, offering them the hope of a Savior. The shepherd's candle tells how God invites us, his children, the poor in spirit, to come into his presence and worship him. The fourth candle of the Advent wreath is the angel's candle. The angel's candle announces that the babe of Bethlehem, whose birth the angels announced on Christmas Eve, will come again with all his angels to take us home and establish his everlasting kingdom. We praise you, eternal King, announced by the angelic hosts.
The book of Revelation of St. John records what that day will be like in the 22nd chapter. Then he showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There shall be no more anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall worship him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. And night shall be no more. They need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they shall reign forever and ever. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to you with this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who is thirsty come. Let him who desires to take water of life without price. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
Our scripture readings are from a few selected passages. We're talking about the angels today, sort of going through the reminders that the Advent wreath are to us of those different elements of Christmas, right? And so we think about angels this morning. And you may be sitting there thinking to yourself, I read stories about angels in the Bible. What does that have to do with my life? I mean, I believe in angels, but I mean, come on. I have a smartphone. This is the age of technology. You know, I mean, it might have been an amazing thing for someone to show up and poof, there they appear, and you know, now a communication message is given. But I mean, I also have FaceTime. So the miraculous becomes a little less miraculous sometimes in light of our current technology. We almost sort of don't even think about it sometimes, that there are angels around us right now, that angels are still in play, we might say, right? Sometimes you can have a mental separation, like I go to church, they talk about angels there, I believe that. But then, normal life, this. But what's the point of angels in the Bible anyway? What's the whole idea behind angels? The word angelos in Greek means messenger. They are messengers of God's word and of his will. They also fight his battles. You see that in the Old Testament and New Testament. And they help believers. They're messengers, they're warriors, and they're helpers for us. And we're primarily going to talk about good angels this morning. They're spiritual beings that are more powerful than human beings, but they're certainly not on the level of God, right? We agreed on that? They are created beings, correct? We're not told exactly when God created the angels, but we know that they are created beings. When they're giving a message and somebody bows down to them in Scripture, they say, no, don't do that. I'm not God. The exception to that is what's called the angel of the Lord, which is probably Jesus coming to deliver messages at times. And then he allows worship, right? They're not gods. They're not humans. God, human, and angels are three distinct categories. You shouldn't confuse those things. Even when Jesus took humanity unto himself, he did not transform his divinity into humanity, right? But was taking humanity unto himself. But he never stopped being God, right? It says in Hebrews 1:7, of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. They can travel, speak, and fight in ways that would be considered supernatural to us, right? But they can also take a very real form, and they can take a sword that will hurt you and take other physical forms and take other physical actions as well, right? We see that often. Lucifer was one of the chief angels, and he rebelled against God. He desired to overtake God's throne and to even be like God. Bad move there. He led a rebellion of wicked angels against the Lord and the righteous angels, and they were cast out of heaven, it tells us in Revelation, right? And they were cast down, some to earth, some to hell. And to this day, there remain those who are the righteous angels, what are called the elect angels. And they're also fallen angels, and those fallen angels are known as demons in the Scriptures, right? Lucifer is known in the Bible as the devil or Satan, other words for him as well. But again, against that backdrop, just that little explanation there, we want to really focus on good angels this morning, and especially the angels bringing that Christmas message, right? I call this the angels of Christmas past, right? Bringing that good news and those messages. And there's a present-day application to your life, trust me. It's going to be influential for you just as it was to those first hearers. So we're going to look at a few of the Christmas messages that angels brought in the New Testament. Are you ready? First of all, Luke 1:13 through 19. This is the angel Gabriel coming and appearing to Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth about the birth of John. The angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news." And we know what happens after that, where he said, "You talk too much. You talk back. Now you don't get to talk for 9 months." This message that Gabriel brings, Gabriel is known as the chief messenger angel. He's involved in Christmas a lot here. Michael is sort of known as the chief warrior angel. And there's kind of something funny and sad and wonderful all at the same time about this story, right? Funny in Zechariah's punishment. You know, you talk back, therefore you don't get to talk for 9 months. Sad in his unbelief. Like, come on, you're one of the chief priests. And wonderful also for the reality of what's actually being proclaimed, right? Messenger angels come at times to give words of judgment, but in the gospel, in the announcement of Christmas, this is the best news, literally the best news that the world could ever hear. A lot of newspapers are named like the Herald or the Messenger or something like that, right? This is actually the best news that could be heralded to all the world. Did you read the newspaper this morning? I was reading the newspaper. This is the best message that the world could receive. And it's very, very encouraging to believers. I remember a story from Utah. I was at a church planting conference. There was a number of other evangelical church planters there at this conference that we held in Utah. It was a small gathering. There weren't too many of us, but there were more and more. God was really doing something there. And I remember one guy getting up to speak. Someone had asked him to come and share a testimony, and he was a church planner who sort of almost gave up and then had a breakthrough, and then the Lord really blessed his ministry and grew a church there. And he told us about the lowest point of his ministry there in Utah. He said, "I was so discouraged. There was a number of terrible things going on. I was about to just give it all up. And I said, instead, let's take a vacation." He said that to his wife. And so they decided to pack up the kids, and they were going to take a one-week vacation. And so they decided to go down to Zion National Park, a very beautiful part of Utah down in the south, and a lot of remote territory in between Salt Lake City and Zion National Park. And they were driving. It was a little snowy, and they were on a hillside, and they lost control of the SUV that they were in. All the kids were strapped in the back of the SUV. And the SUV began to roll down an embankment, about a 50-foot embankment, and it rolled about 20 times down to the bottom. They all climbed out the windows. They marched back up to the top of the hill. They looked at each other. No one had a scratch on them at all. And that was amazing. And the wife was sort of over here with the kids. They were trying to get the cell phone and make a call. And he said, the church planner was here, and he said, "Lee, look down the, this is the middle of an abandoned highway," you might say. And it's not like, you know, around here you can get out in the country, but you still go a couple miles and find a farmhouse. There's spots in central Utah where you can go 100 miles between gas stations, okay? This is one of those stretches. No houses, no gas stations. And it's obvious. It looks up, and he sees a man coming toward him, walking on the side of the road. It almost looks like a homeless person. And the man walks right up to him, and he puts his hands on both of his shoulders, and he says, "The Lord wants you to be encouraged and to keep doing this work of church planting that you're doing." And the guy turns around, and he says, "Honey, you need to hear what this guy said right here." Turns around, gone. Now, this man's about my same age who was telling this story. He has a master's degree. About the same credibility that you would put to me if I would tell you that story. And so, you know, depending on your view of me, that might tell something. But at the same time, I have no reason to disbelieve what he said. And this would fit with the biblical description of the purpose of angels, to help and to bring good news and encouragement, especially when you're at your lowest, right? Don't get me wrong. I mean, Israel was at its lowest. They had not heard from any prophet in 400 years when Jesus came, when Gabriel started showing up, and now all of a sudden announcing good news. Something's happening. Something's coming. Be encouraged. God has not left his people. He's not given up on you. Your sins are going to be forgiven. Light is going to conquer the darkness. Don't give in to the darkness. Be encouraged. That's what God's saying to you this morning as well, through his angels and through the message of his word. Don't be discouraged. Don't let the darkness win. Give yourself over to him. Be encouraged. And he was. That church planner was encouraged out there. He was in Ogden, Utah. And went on to successfully plant a church. The Lord really used him after encouraging him from that lowest point, actually. We tend to be children of the Enlightenment. We don't want to believe in angels because that's so 15th century, right? But you're either going to believe the Bible or you're not going to. You don't get to pick and choose. That's the bottom line. Did Zechariah's unbelief stop the event that the angel was proclaiming from happening? No, it did not. Absolutely, it did not. You know, sometimes God has to discipline you, though, in your unbelief. Sometimes he has to, you know, rearrange some things in your life, we might say, right? To get your attention at times. That's okay. That's because he loves you. That's because he is going to work out his plan of salvation, whether you initially believed that he was going to or not. Zechariah learned that. Will you be like Zechariah and not be able to believe God's wonderful plan and his encouragement for you? Or are you just going to receive in faith like Mary does? She receives the same message from Gabriel with faith. Will you receive what God is wanting to do in your life for his glory? Will you receive that good news this morning? Sometimes the answer is not to do something. Sometimes it's just to open your hands like this and to receive. I remember going one time to a Bible study that Michael Card hosted in Nashville, Tennessee. He was a famous Christian musician, and there was just a few people there, a couple pastors and some other friends. And I remember he told us, we were in college at the time when we visited him there, he said, "This is the prayer group of the open hands, the prayer group of the open hands." That's all we do. We just lift up our open hands to receive from God. That's what you need to do this morning. You need to receive the good news like Zacharias struggled to do, but like Mary did very well in faith. So angels are servant messengers for our own good. That's good. Praise the Lord. Angels are still helping us today. Praise God for that. Angels are also giving proclamations that are meant to point us to the Savior. So God uses angels to actually give revelation, like he does prophets and apostles, right? Look at Luke 1, 26 through 35. "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel," he's added again, "was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you.'" That's a much better translation than "Hail Mary, full of grace." "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." Now, Gabriel tells Mary that she'll bear a son who will be called the Son of the Most High. This is the moment that the world has been waiting for, certainly the Jewish people, right? The Messiah, this is it. The angels point us to Jesus, right? Any other obsession or, you know, interpretation of angels is sort of unhealthy. It's possible. I've seen this at times where people kind of become too obsessed with angels and get into it a little too much. But the whole point of angels is sort of point us to something else, not themselves, right? Angels and demons, that can kind of suck you in too much if you give it too much credence. But the point is, believe it, that it is real, but both of them are sort of working on behalf of other things going on, right? And you need to be aware of that. And you need to just receive. I love how Mary acts in faith. And later when Elizabeth comes to visits her, he says, "Blessed are you who believed what the angel said to her." So she affirms the fact that Mary just simply believed in faith when Gabriel brought that same message to her, that good news of Christmas. That's what you need to do. Just receive the good news in faith. My Nana, my maternal grandmother, before she died a few years back, for the last several Christmases before she died, she would send me like two or three presents kind of in a row over the few weeks leading up to Christmas. You know, I would get something in the mail. A week later, I would get another check in the mail, you know. And, you know, my first instinct is to call and say, "You know, Nana, I already got, I think you forgot that you already sent me two different Christmas presents already, and I don't need a third one." But, you know, that would just hurt her feelings, right, probably at that stage, right? You know, what I really need to do, and I did, is just receive them and know that my Nana really loved me, right, and she loved our whole family so well. And that's all that you need to do with God's Christmas gift to you as well. It's like, just receive it, you know? Just receive it. Just bask in his love this morning. Just receive the free gift. Receive the free gift. Don't try to take $2 out of your pocket and say, "Oh, here." You know, just receive the gift of Jesus Christ this morning. Maybe there's someone who has not actually received that gift in their heart yet fully. Just receive freely the gift of Jesus Christ. That's the greatest Christmas gift. That's why we give gifts to each other, is to remind each other of the greatest gift that was given to us. And I'm a big fan of gifts. Go all out. Give somebody a wonderful gift that reminds them of the greatest gift in Jesus Christ, right? But you have to receive it first, and then you can give gifts to others as well. So the whole point of the good angels working on our behalf is that we should receive the salvation that Jesus Christ offers and that God himself offers, right? You know, are you one of those people who doesn't know how to receive things graciously? You know, some people really struggle with this, right? You haven't learned the truth of what the Apostle Paul said yet to the Corinthian church. What do you have that you did not receive? That's what he tells the Corinthians. Think about that. What do you have that you did not receive? It's all a gift. Don't you get that? If you don't, there's a real problem. It's all a gift from God. Just receive the gift of Jesus Christ this morning. Third and final, the angels will inspire you to a spirit of praise, and specifically singing. Luke 2, 13 and 14. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angel shows up to the shepherds, the whole sky lights up afterwards with the heavenly and light-filled choir, right? They start singing. This is the angels we were hearing about last week with the shepherds. They're in the fields, and they begin to sing. Apparently, they sing beautifully. You know, you've perhaps heard our choir up here sing, and afterwards you thought to yourself, you know, that was angelic. That was angelic, right? We hear that phrase sometimes. And apparently, angels do sing beautifully. They always hit their notes, I guess. No auto-tune needed. But they also are inspiring us to sing God's praises, right? It's sort of like the whole point of a choir is to almost like to teach you how to sing and to get you to sing too. And that's the point of the angelic choir. They do sing beautifully for God, I'm sure, every day, every hour of every day. But it's also like they're inviting you to join the choir, right? They're inviting you into singing God's praises, and they're trying to teach you how to sing God's praises. You may say, "Doug, I'm not a very good singer. I don't sing so well in church." You will be a good singer when you have an angel as a voice instructor in heaven, though. You know what I mean? When you are learning to sing God's praises, you're just making a joyful noise, even if you're not a great singer. But joyful singing comes from the heart. That's why we must sing. We must sing in church. Absolutely. It's a disobedience not to sing in church. It's your destiny to sing the praises of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God for eternity. So you might as well start practicing now. I call this choir practice. There's choir practice for the worship service, but even the worship service, in a sense, is choir practice for singing to God in heaven forever. That will be such a joyful occasion. Scripture commands us to make a joyful noise. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. And it doesn't matter whether we can sing well or not. It comes from the heart. It comes from a place of joy. It comes from a place where you have received the good news. You have believed the Savior. And everything's going to be okay now. Even when it's not, everything's going to be okay. Because you have a Savior. And you know your destiny. You know how the story ends. And it's a happy ending for those of you who are in Christ. The number one thing this morning that the angels would have you to do is to simply receive in faith salvation in Jesus Christ, to carry out God's will on earth just like they do perfectly in heaven, and to praise Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for eternity. Will you? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you sent your ministering angels to us to encourage us to fight on our behalf, to help us when we needed help, when we were at our lowest points, Lord. We often, probably for most of us, for all of our lives, will not see an angel. And that's okay. We know that they are sort of in the shadows. They sort of work behind the scenes to bring good news and to help us to fight on our behalf. And we thank you, Father, for them. We thank you for the good angels who are working and fighting for us, who are helping us probably in innumerable ways that we won't find out until heaven. We thank you, Lord, that You've given us these helpers, and they glorify you as well, Lord. They minister unto you ultimately, Lord. And we would heed their messages that they've given us, the announcement of good news in Jesus Christ. We would follow their example of those righteous angels, those elect angels who serve you perfectly without disobeying at all. That your will is accomplished and carried out in heaven just at the saying of the word. And we pray it would be so here on earth as well. We know we struggle with obedience so much, but we would obey you like the angels obey you. And we would also sing your praises, just like the angels sing your praises, Lord. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.